On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Already? I'm John Potter, live and local. It's already 11:06 in studio with me, Dave Burns, who is Mr. Douglas County himself here, and president of the Douglas County School Board. But we're not speaking as you are not speaking as the president of the school board, rather than what's really going on behind the scenes. And I'm happy you're here. We were just talking about, well, what do you think of what happened this morning with Venezuela? We're going way outside Douglas County on this one.
Oh, well, if you look at it, John, it's kind of affecting every county and every state and every nation in, of this nation.
Stopping the flow of drugs.
You know? Stopping the flow of drugs. And we really, kind of what we've been told is, heads up to the schools that pay attention to that, because we're one of the worst counties for drug trafficking. And you wouldn't believe that, because
well, that's the first I ever heard that.
50-some percent. Well, Highway 395 comes up through.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's part of it. But our great sheriff's department down there, they catch a
lot
of it.
They will tell you, huh?
Yeah. Yes, they're the best.
I'm glad you're here. We are really kind of, I think, more at Douglas County Radio. We're so Douglas County here. Our owner lives in Douglas County. And I go to Douglas County. I mean, I love Douglas County. What am I living in Reno for? But it's a wonderful area. We have good things to talk about. But first and foremost, the Douglas County School Board. Let's get into it, shall we? The Record Courier newspaper. Do you like the Record Courier, Dave?
Do I need to comment on
that? That doesn't sound good. I like the Record Courier. I think it's good old-fashioned journalism. But like me, I don't know anything about I don't know about the drugs or anything in Douglas County. But from what I read, it's a good paper. Anyway, they printed this article on Thursday. I'll shorten it. The Douglas County School Board will consider declaring a state of financial emergency at their meeting Wednesday. At their last meeting, December 18th, the district reported a $4 million shortfall for the fiscal year and a structural deficit of $5.2 million in Douglas County for the next fiscal year. Get my glasses on. That's my one complaint about the Record Courier, is the type is too small. Okay, it says, due to the financial issue, employees could be laid off in the school district. The goal is to achieve fiscal solvency through 2027. What is going on, Dave?
Well, John, I need to start out. I'm speaking specifically for myself. I'm not here speaking as the representative of Douglas County School District. That's a political statement that I need to make sure it's coming from me. And
understood. Not, okay. We have you here because you know what's going on, and that's all we need to know hear about.
I'm one of two on the board right now that have been. We just finished our third year, and this is our fourth year, final year of our term. And we were elected to come in and be honest with you, to get the woke agenda out of our schools, because the people were seeing an enormous downturn of scoring, our proficiency scores and everything and stuff. So, you know, we're heavy conservative down there, and they elected us, three of us. and my background, I'm not going to get into it, but I was an operations director back in Michigan. And my job was to turn offices around for the company that were struggling financially. So here am I.
Yeah, right, I was going to ask you, Dave, why did you want to get involved with this Douglas County School Board?
Well, I love kids. My wife is a retired school teacher and out of California, but very conservative in that point, too. And what can you say? What can you say? You can't. So I stepped up because of the kids. And, you know, I found out that we have some great teachers. We have great people in Douglas County, but sad to say, some things that happened just before we came in and during has really showed myself, I'm speaking for myself, I can see clearly why we're in trouble. And fortunately, we have a superintendent now that, in my book, and I've seen a lot, he's outstanding. And I mean outstanding. And
you this put is a group new
together. He's super, the new one.
Okay.
Frankie Alvarado. Mr. Alvarado is, I think he's 44 years old because I think he's the same age as my youngest, my son. And I can honestly say he's brilliant.
So what terrible mistakes were made by his predecessor? How did we end up with a $4 million shortfall for the fiscal year and $5.2 million deficit for the next? Where did the money, what happened here? How did this happen?
Well, that number, I think, those two numbers that was given to you, I think there it could be a little bit more than that. So I just say that those numbers to me are
conservative.
So we will know more of that coming.
But how did we get to this point?
Well, we got to this point because of, my opinion is running a school system as a government instead of running it as a business. And the big difference there is you're talking finances. When you run like a government, what's finances? You can go in the hole, it doesn't matter. But when you run it like a business, which you have to, because we're under that, where now we're in trouble, and emergency is what they claim. Fortunately, our state has recognized already after a year and a half, have recognized Mr. Alvarado as being outstanding because he just a month ago was awarded the top superintendent in the state of Nevada out of every county. So that's got to tell you a lot about him if he's already received that and he didn't know it was coming and they gave it to him. So saying that, he sees it as well. He's why we got to this point. So let's go there. So I'll lay the groundwork. We were at point almost 7,500 students at the highest point in Douglas County. That's total students that we had in the school system. Right now, Lyon County is about that much. And we're down to under 5,000 now. There's been a steady decline.
Are you going to blame it on a birth rate like Reno and Washoe County are?
No. Birth rate is
see, not... Reno and Washoe County, they say, oh, it's a birth rate. That's why we're running a deficit and this and that, and we are not getting the money in because of the birth rate. Meanwhile, the charter and private schools, their enrollment's gone way up.
Yes.
And so what does that tell you? They're avoiding now at least the Washoe County public schools.
Well, the charter schools are operating like a business. Public schools are operating
but the
like
education
government.
The parents are preferring by numbers going to the private, and I think that is the root cause of this big decrease in enrollment in at least Washoe County public schools. How do you compare in Douglas County?
Well, we're about 54-57% retirees. The
right.
county is made up of.
Right.
So we're and we're one of the most expensive counties in the state to purchase homes. Why? California people coming over there with sold their house, they retired to come over here, and they get a steal of a deal compared to what they came from, and drives up the prices. So what's happened is those people are buying these homes, taking over the county. So the young couples, the ones with kids, can't afford to live there.
I see. That makes sense.
So that's the reason why the decline. But I will add one more thing that you won't hear because they don't really want to talk about it. My calculation, and I could be wrong on this, I think because we're supposed to, at homeschoolers, are supposed to register with the district one time only, that their intent to homeschool. And when they do that, you wind up with the last number I had, it could be off today from that, but it was 682 homeschoolers in our valley. If you really calculate that out, then there's those that will not register with the school system. So nobody knows that they're homeschooling. And so my guesstimation is I believe it's around 1,000. Well, 1,000 is 20% of our population, total school population right now.
That's big.
So, and that's not just Douglas. That's going across all over. But I've talked to a lot of homeschoolers, those that have registered, those that have not. And I'm not getting in the middle of that mess. And numerous times I have been told, conservative families have told me that they have pulled their kids because the woke agenda was being allowed into our schools. And they did not want that for their children, so they pulled them.
Are you talking about like selection of history books or just the teachers bringing their political leanings into the classroom?
No, I don't want to see necessarily teachers.
Okay.
This is a state involved in this too, but you get they had sex education in third grade. That was state mandated. But we had a lot of these different things that were, you know, acceptance of this, acceptance of that. And it has nothing to do with education itself. So that's why the people voted us to come in and to say, listen, we just want our kids educated. We want to make the decisions of where, what classes they take other than that. And so we very simply as a board did one thing. That was, it used to be opt out of a class. So in other words, they had third grade sex education. In order to not have your child in that, you had to opt out. Well, the parents sometimes never got that notice that that class is going on, and then they hear from their kid when they get home that this is going on. So we did something very simple. We made it opt in.
Mm.
If you want the child in that class, you opt in. If you don't, they don't go in there. And, you know, it worked. It worked. But Mr. Alvarado's basic, I think, his basic principle is education. We need to turn that around. Why? Because all of our education, our proficiency scores, everything was a downturn for approximately 12 years of nothing but down, down, down. Douglas County used to be the lighthouse of the state for education. Now, that wasn't
good, you know, test numbers and
such. Oh yeah, we were way up there. But state now, let's get the big picture
state,
here.
State not, influence, yeah.
Not, you, it sounds like it's all on Douglas County. No, what happened was Douglas County, one of the wealthiest counties in the state, all their money that came in for taxes would go directly to the school. Okay, directly to the school. So they had that money from the county.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the state, I don't remember how many years ago, 8, 10 years ago maybe, they said, oh, no, we want all the money from every county
really?
Come to us. We will distribute the money to the counties per child. And we get now less than $11,000, and that's gone up.
Well, that's one question answered there. Dave, this is a very interesting, and it's a very interesting quandary you have here because of the home prices going up and so unaffordable to young couples that the kids, they're not bringing in the kids like the newcomers usually do. And so that's why, for one, enrollment has dropped. We've got to take a break here. One more segment with you. Folks, if you're interested, you have comments, or you know something we don't... In my case, that's very frequent. 775-884-9910. I'm Sean Potter, back in just a few minutes on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk FM News Talk Time, 1120.
Fox at the top. Fox at the bottom. Live and local right now.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area on one radio station. Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local. We're talking about a $4 million shortfall for the fiscal year at the Douglas County School District. Deficit of $5.2 million for next. President of Douglas County School Board, Dave Burns, is here. We're finding out things. I got to ask you before we get into the numbers that you want to get into. What is it about, why does, okay, for one, the Douglas County School Board, why does it have such a rocky, polarized controversial past. Wasn't there almost like a mutiny to throw out the board's lawyer, Joey Gilbert? That was in the news. That news made it all the way here in Reno. And you had in Douglas County the feud between, the owner of the Bentley Distillery and the head of the library over politics. I remember that going on too. What is it about Douglas County? I mean, those are pretty rocky things happening there, Dave. Something in the water?
Well, we have it rocky nationally, and I think it's bleeding over into Douglas County because it really is a battle of conservatism,
yes,
and non-conservatism. That's what the battle is. Conservatism, we have approximately 23,000 registered Republicans. We have approximately 11,000 registered independents and approximately 7,000 to 8,000 registered Democrats. So, there's contention.
Well, I have a lot of friends in Douglas County, and they bring up this stuff. And I just wondered if I just thought, that's pretty odd out there for such a nice, peaceful looking community.
It is. But you also have, the conservatives moved there for a reason, because it's conservative. And especially when they've been coming from California, they come over here and go in our county. Why? And a lot of fire and a lot of retired police officers, because they've seen all this stuff. They're sick and tired of it over there, and they by far don't want to see it here, because this is why they moved here. So anyway, that's my opinion on it. That's what I hear. But,
they get more irate over the state influence on things like the school curriculum. Like you said, there's more reaction in Douglas County because you are a more conservative red county.
Yes, but I have to say now the difference is administration right now. The past administration versus the administration now. And the administration... some of this has to do with control of the board. So the old board plays into some of this stuff numerically, and it also plays into some of this stuff when the conservatives are saying, hey, I don't want this stuff taught to my kids. But it's not math, English, science, and so on. It is the basics of education. Today, we've got that back. And there was no, I'm cutting this, I'm cutting that. Mr. Alvarado says, we need to bring up the scores, and this is how we do it. Now, I'll clarify one thing with him just to prove. I said almost 12 years of decline in proficiency scores. Never once did it turn up. His first year, which was full year last year, he turned it up already. It turned up on his first year. Because the teachers believed in him, because he's transparent, because he says, this is your school, you teach, and we're going to teach to change the grades and turn it up. He's listening, he is hearing them, and he's acting on what they want. And now they've proven that we have excellent teachers, and it has to be past administration.
So the next school board meeting, they're going to deliberate of how to correct this multi-million dollar deficit. And one thing on the table is school employees could be laid off. Is that going to happen?
Yes, it is. It breaks my heart. It just, I believe kids so much, and I believe in the teachers we have. And it breaks my heart that we got to this point. When I first came in, the first 2 years, we got absolutely none of the information. We were only given the information that they wanted us to have as a board. So we didn't see it. We couldn't see what the numbers were. We couldn't see what they were hiring, what they were not hiring. I'll give you a for instance. We have three different categories. We have what they call certified and that's bus drivers and mechanics, and ones, they do not have the teaching credentials. So then you have the classified, then the certified are all teachers, basically. they have the credentials, and so they're certified, certificated. Then we have administration. Administration is who operates, from superintendent to HR to everything in office per se, and they run the school. So there's three different categories in each, and I had a sheet that gave me those three categories for this year, for last year, year before last, that before Mr. Alvarado came in, we had 18 openings, and I believe that was for certificated, if I'm not mistaken. It doesn't matter. One of the categories had 18 openings. They hired over 100.
Well, we're down to the final minute. Listen, wouldn't you otherwise be retired now? I mean, why are you stressing out over these things?
Well, I got kids. I got grandkids. They're not here, but yeah. These kids are my grandkids that are in the school system. And those parents are my kids, as far as I'm concerned. Commissioner came knocking on my door to tell me what was going on in the school. And he says, Dave, if you won't do it, who will?
Well, your next meeting is Wednesday, and Godspeed with that, Dave Burns. Thank you so much for shedding some light. I'm glad things are going to get so much better with the new superintendent in Douglas County for the school.
Yes, it will. I was a ghost of his, following him everywhere for 6 months.
Okay.
And I'm not disappointed.
All right. You fix that county up, would you?
Well.
It doesn't need fixing up. It's a beautiful county.
It is. We'll get there. We'll get back to these kids being successful, right. And that's where we're
at. Keep us up to date, my friend.
Thank you, John. It's always good to be here.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to take a break for Fox News. Local news with Greg Neft is coming up after that. I'm John Potter, live and local, back in a few shortly on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:30.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
Government is bad and government is evil.
99.1
and 92.3
FM Talk, KKFT.
News, talk, truth.
Live and local, that's what we do here. I'm John Potter. Let's take a look at the current conditions out there on this very wet start of a wet weekend and a snowy weekend, up to 3 feet of new snow up in the mountains. It's why do these storms pick on our weekends? That's what I'd like to know. Traffic-wise, we have debris to watch out for on Highway 50 at Golf Club Road, Carson City, that's eastbound 50. Zephyr Cove, Highway 50, road hazard to watch out for there. A lot of this generated by the weather. Troopers still at an injury crash. It happened some time ago. Mustang at 80 West. And the current temperature has not moved hardly at all here. It was 41 when I came in, 8:30 this morning, and our current temperature is 45 degrees. That's what you get. You better be happy with it. And I'm happy I hope you're going to be happy with 2026, of course. I was talking earlier about the changes. A lot of us, we don't like changes. One of the changes is that one country is going to stop letter delivery. I think it was Denmark. After 400 years, people don't write letters anymore. And we haven't just lost newspapers and letters. As I said earlier, I feel a great loss of civility over the past couple of years. I mean, I'd never heard about fist fights on planes before and seen so many tailgaters and red light runners on the roads. And that said, Northern Nevada is still a wonderful place to live. It's a place where people say hello to you. They still do, not because they know you, but because they recognize and respect you as another human being smiling at them. That has not changed that I see. It's a place here where people wait at the four-way stop, allowing the others to go before him. And it's funny how often it becomes a situation of, you go first. No, you go first. And it's so nice to have just common decency and courtesy in our daily lives. No, I'm not being sarcastic. Chivalry lives in Northern Nevada where men still open doors for women, right? Though you live it without thinking because it's just the way we are. You haven't really noticed that we're unique in that way. So I take time now and then to be thankful that we all live the way we do, which makes for Northern Nevada a wonderful place to live. But I read this article. It was one of those Science Today or something like that. It was one of those kinds of sites. And one of the things they pointed out was the importance of the handwritten thank you note. Now, it might sound totally stupid to you, but I'm putting it out there as an example of how civility in America has suffered, because at some point, maybe 20 years ago, 25 years ago, parents did not tell their kids to make sure they wrote thank you notes when grandma or grandpa or Aunt Betty would give them a gift or send them a card, maybe with a $20 bill or something inside. Because when you were growing up, I'm going to bet that your mom or your dad, maybe both, insisted upon something that whenever somebody gave you a gift, you are to write a handwritten thank you note to that individual. Don't type it, John. That's what I heard. You could, you know, you could do a phone call under certain circumstances, but a handwritten thank you note, we of a certain generation, we were all taught that that was appropriate. And it turns out that as late as 2025, people who wrote handwritten thank you notes were considered by most people to be classy folk. It's the way I was brought up, and it's probably the same way you were brought up. It's something, especially mom, that they were adamant about. Send the thank you. The minute you opened the card and you saw the $20 bill inside, the minute before you even touched the money. That was drilled into me from the get-go. And here we are all these years later. My wife, Kathy, will still do the handwritten thank you notes when appropriate. I, at one time, actually had stationery made up so that people, yeah, we used to have companies make personalized stationery where you would have your fancy gold-colored letters spelling out your name and your address on top or something like that. And yeah, I don't see those anymore. So anyway, I have that stationery made up so people would think I'm classy, despite what I do on the radio every Saturday. So the personalized stationery with a handwritten thank you note, and I could be wrong, but probably about 25 years ago, I think just, you know, parents stopped imprinting on their offspring the importance of a thank you note, and especially a handwritten thank you note. And that is where we get into society as a whole. You know, we hear all about the negative people, the Karens out there. We all know we have a lot of very entitled people in society who are really just not even in the ballpark of reality. And I don't know where entitlement originated or when it became widespread as it is right now, but a lot of people seem to want certain things that they think they're entitled to, certain things just by virtue of who I am, you know, being alive. And frankly, the world doesn't really work that way. So handwritten thank you notes, in my opinion, are one of the best ways to communicate to others. And because you expressed gratitude and thanks, in the, you know what, in the future, they're probably going to remember to send you something on your birthday or your graduation or your confirmation or whatever the event happens to be. They will know that somebody raised you right and you were not brought up by a pack of wolves. And when we stopped writing thank you notes, we ignored people who were nice enough to give us those gifts. And I think that was kind of a big watershed moment in the nature of civility in America. You want to agree or disagree? And there are things we could be doing or should still be doing. I think civility took a major hit. Also, when texting replaced talking, when we stopped talking to each other as much on the phone, and frankly, when companies started replacing human beings. I mean, it was bad enough when you called customer service and you were talking to a guy in the Philippines in his house. And frankly, when companies started replacing human beings, even them, with AI, I mean, have you ever made that call and something sounds a little bit sketchy about the voice and you ask a question and the voice says, "I am a digital assistant"? I want to scream when I hear that. and on many of the social media platforms that are out there where you read what people are typing in their comments about something, you kind of wonder, when would this person ever say that to somebody else? And I don't think they would in most cases. I really don't. That being said, I don't talk to people as much on the phone except here at 99.1 FM Talk. 775-884-9910. Really, I don't talk to people as much on the phone as I used to by any stretch of the imagination. When is the last time you had a phone conversation that wasn't business or a credit card or healthcare related? The last time you had a conversation, I hope it hasn't been too long. Okay. 884-9910 is our number. Happy today. I think 2026 is going to be a great year. The very big news hours ago, really, Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro and his wife, Celia Flores, captured by U.S. forces during a large-scale nighttime military operation early today. The attacks overnight in Caracas follow months of pressure from the Trump administration, including a $50 million bounty on Maduro for narco-terrorism and strikes and drug boats. Today, it was all over in 3 hours. And I think it's because aside from the near-perfect planning of this attack that went quickly and smoothly, despite the networks giving away all our military, what we're planning and everything, helping the enemy, which I think should be a crime. But it happened quickly, like 3 hours, and they were done. The guards defending the presidential palace in Venezuela, let me tell you, they were not going to fight. I'm sure they probably left when they saw our soldiers, our U.S. military, because the entire country is starving. Literally eating dogs. Nobody is going to fight except for a handful of loyalists. The island prison of Cuba, there were protesters while the protesters were starving to death to defend Cuba. And like Cuba, Venezuela is a communist prison. And by, you know, the communist mafia in Cuba just might go next because they depend on Venezuelan oil and drug money to survive. So this could all be part of a bigger plan. I think that phone call's ready. Craig, let's go to John calling up at 884-9910. Hey, John, good morning. I'm glad you called. Oh, it's not ready? What is it? It has my name on it.
It has your name on it, but it is not a phone call for you. That is the caller's name.
Scratch at what I said about 2026 being a great year. Just my luck. Okay, we're going to take a break. I'm John Potter, live and local, back very shortly for one more break. Give us a call, 884-9910, or text us. I'm John Potter, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1147.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk.
News Time, 99.1 and 92.3.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. Current temperature in Reno, 45 degrees. Rainy, wet down here. Snowy up in the higher elevations. Chains required. Highway 50, Myers to Twin Bridges. Also the high ground of the Mount Rose Highway at the moment. And also on Route 88, Hope Valley down past through Kirkwood. Let's go to the phone, 884-9910, and talk to Paul, Virginia City Highlands. Hey, Paul, good morning. I'm glad you called.
Hey, John, good morning. You may not be glad after I call. I don't disagree with you very often, but I do on this one. You were talking about the four-way stop and how people are being polite and waving you know, your turn through.
Uh-huh.
No, that confuses everybody. Looking at them going, you know, what are you doing? Being polite at a four-way stop is paying attention when you get there, knowing when it's your turn to go, and going when it's your turn to go.
Yes.
That's being polite. But the waving somebody is like...
Well, that's just what we have to live with polite people waving you first at four-way stop. I know what you're talking about because I bike a lot, and this is a real hassle for bikers. We come up to a four-way stop where we're automatically going to get the you go ahead because I don't know, because I'm on a bike. But a lot of these people, a lot of these people, Paul, who are waving me ahead, I can't see them because they'll have tinted windows, tinted. And everything, and they
clear
sit
on the
there
or something. Yeah.
And I can barely make a moving hand out, and it just causes. Yeah, you're right. Awkwardness, confusing.
Yep. Yeah. Agree. Know the rules and go with it, and everybody's so much better off. So
We are just so polite.
Aren't we? Okay, John. Have a very, I wish you a late Happy New Year and a Merry Christmas and everything, and I'll be talking to you, I'm sure, in the next few weeks.
All right, buddy. Take care, Paul. And I got a text, something I was just talking about a couple of minutes ago. John, AI can make any phone call sound like one of your family, and especially if you get one of those phone calls where it sounds like your grandson's in jail and they need $5,000 for bail. That's not like a joke or exaggeration. That's for real. That is absolutely right. Now they can take a snippet of somebody's voice and make that person talk entire sentences, and it could sound exactly like a relative of yours. All I can say is just don't fall for that kind of stuff, you know? Call the police department immediately if something like that happens to you, and please make sure you check that out. And that the last one is the thing that I tell people about being cautious with scam world going on right now, and it gets bigger and bigger. One problem I run into... When maybe this is too personal, when you're hiring work to be done on your home, do not give big deposits, or worse, pay for the whole bill up front. Stay in control of the money and hold back most of it until the work has been completed. You know, there's a story in the news that the DMV, the Nevada DMV, is warning of scams involving Nevada's driver's licenses. They say one scam is ads on social media, namely Facebook, ads from supposed businesses saying they can get you a Nevada driver's license and quickly. And the DMV has come out saying, hey, this is a scam, which is kind of weird and funny, because the reason this scam exists is because of the fact that people are desperate to get things done in a righteous and timely manner from the DMV itself. And so that's why somebody thought of that. But especially, and I tell seniors this, to be always on guard for scams. You know, I had this friend in Las Vegas, and I lived there for 10 years, I think 85 to 96 or something. My friend, Stan the Man, he did the radio show after my morning show in Las Vegas, and he had a job on the side working in one of these boiler room type places where they sold, God, I don't really remember if it was vitamins or some sort of home improvement deal. But he told me that they were trained to really push the seniors when they called. They made these random phone calls, and if they happen to catch a senior answering the phone, boy, they would really hone on the sales pitch on those seniors. He said that they do that. The seniors they focus on seniors because they trust. And he said there would be some calls where the people there working in this boiler room, the people there, the workers, would sometimes be yelling into the phone, go get your purse. And I said, the seniors on the phone, they do that? Absolutely. Former friend, I should say. And again, like I said earlier, I get paranoid doing this radio show because I don't know who's listening. Stan, if you're listening, I know you're a good person. Aside, he was telling me about the other people, you know, in the boiler room. It's not funny, John. It's not funny. Okay, so anyway, Happy New Year. I hope you had a great New Year's. Maybe next year we can do something about those illegal fireworks. And they just drove me crazy. Not my cat. Cat had earmuffs. Me, took away a lot of sleep and everything. Congratulations to the president and our military for doing what they did in Venezuela in 3 hours time. Incredible. And what could come next? And, you know, I wonder, you know, could Cuba come next? And if that happens, I know many Cubans in Florida are going to be celebrating. But it looks to me like even the Venezuelan military are celebrating. You know, the it was all a great effort and something to be proud of. Now, here's the latest headline, which drives me nuts. World leaders denounce U.S. operation to capture Maduro. European Union foreign policy chief, EU, did nothing about the situation, by the way, wrote that the U.N. charter must be respected. And Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez criticized the U.S. actions in Venezuela and called for de-escalation. Well, it's already over, Pedro. Come on. Talk about having no backbone. All right. I do like what the Argentine president wrote on X this morning. Long live freedom. And it was in all caps. I'm John Potter. Thank you for putting up with me. Talk to you again next Saturday morning, 9 to noon. Craig, thank you from Carson City. Have yourself a great weekend, folks. Stay dry. Love you all. Take care. Bye.